Anatomy and Physiology, Gulf Coast State College. We're going to finish our discussions about organic chemistry today by talking about nucleotides. Before I do so, many of you may have noticed that I use a lot of clip art. I think it makes it more interesting, plus the visuals may help us to memorize things. In our last lecture, I had this slide up there to end the day, and you may have noticed there were some donuts there. Yes, I like donuts, I like Dairy Queen ice cream, but that being said, don't try to bribe me. I cannot be bribed. Do not send me donuts. Do not send me coupons for free Dairy Queen, because you're going to have to earn your grade on your own merit. So, back to the matter at hand. Nucleotides, what are they? By definition, a nucleotide is a substance that must contain at least one item from each of the following three categories. Almost sounds like I'm doing a show of Jeopardy here. In any case, those categories are, number one, a phosphate group, which we already mentioned in this course, usually PO4. The second category is a pentose sugar, again old friends of ours from the carbohydrate lecture, either ribose or deoxyribose. And then finally, the third category, something new, a nitrogen base. Let's go ahead and spend a little bit more time on the nitrogen bases, since we've already discussed phosphate groups and pentose sugars. What are the nitrogen bases? They are cytosine, uracil, thymine, adenine, and guanine. Don't worry, I have some memorization techniques coming up and a little bit more detail. Cytosine, uracil, and thymine, you must know, are all classified as pyrimidines. And pyrimidines have one ring of carbons in their structure. Now, how do I remember that? I put it up there this way on purpose to help my simple pea brain. C-U-T spells cut. And I just remember, if I cut off the top of a pyramid, then I have remembered that the pyrimidines include cytosine, uracil, and thymine. Anyway, that's the way I do it. I just cut off the top of a pyramid, and it helps me remember that the CUT are the pyrimidines. Then we have adenine and guanine. They are classified as purines. Purines have double rings of carbons. How do I remember that adenine and guanine are purines? Well, if I put A and G together, that's sort of an abbreviation for agriculture, at least it is for me. So I think of agriculture and all the pure fruits and vegetables that we grow in agriculture. So that's how I remember AG, adenine and guanine, are purines. How do I remember that they have double rings? Well, there's only two of them, just adenine and guanine. So there's two of them, and double means two, and that's how I memorize this whole slide. Again, those are just mnemonics I use. You know, I cut the pyramid, I think of pure agriculture, and, you know, it works for me. But again, the key is to start coming up with these things on your own, and that's how you know you've made it, so to speak, in the memorization department. Here's a visual to go along with what I just said. Over here, let's just use the left half of this picture. Over here, showing you the components of the nucleotide we just mentioned. Number one, here is a phosphate group. Number two, here is a pentose sugar. And number three, here is a nitrogen base. So that would classify this as a nucleotide. Now, nucleotides are very important, and there are three groups of important biological compounds which contain nucleotides. Let's list them on this slide, and then we'll look at them in detail one at a time. The three groups of important things that have nucleotides in them are, number one, energy carriers, number two, coenzymes, and number three, nucleic acids. So let's look at those things one at a time in that order. The first group we'll look at are the energy carriers, and they do exactly what they say they do. They're going to carry energy. These substances capture energy from the breakdown of glucose for later use. Remember, glucose is the cellular fuel of choice. It has many high energy hydrogens, and when we break it down, we're going to capture that energy so we could use it later on for things such as moving our muscles. The energy carriers include the most famous one of all, the one you probably knew before you even took this course, ATP, which stands for adenosine triphosphate. It is composed of, number one, a nitrogen base, specifically adenine, number two, a pentose sugar, specifically ribose, and number three, it has three phosphates. So that certainly classifies it or qualifies it as a nucleotide. Let's talk more about those three phosphates, because that's where the money is. That's where the energy money is. Those three phosphates have two high energy phosphate bonds. Never forget it, with double stars. Yes, we have two high energy phosphate bonds and just one regular phosphate bond. How do I remember, by the way, what ATP is made of? Well, I made up another little mnemonic here to help my pea brain remember it, and I put it in capital letters for you, and it's A-R-E. So I remember A-T-P-R-N-E-R-G. Get it? A-T-P-R-N-E-R-G, A-R-E. And the A in R stands for adenine, the R stands for ribose, and the E stands for the high energy phosphates. So that's how I remember it. The second energy carrier is ADP, or adenosine diphosphate. It's similar to above, but only a total of two phosphates. And finally, number three, AMP, which stands for adenosine monophosphate, which is the same as above, but as the name tells you, only has one phosphate group. We must, of course, really hone in on or focus in on ATP, because that is the body's short-term energy money. Here it shows you, first of all, my mnemonic works. ATP, our energy, because it's made of adenine, that's our nitrogen base. Here's the R for ribose, that's our pentose sugar, and then our high energy phosphate groups. ATP, as the name tells you, has a total of three phosphate groups. Only two of them, please remember, are high energy phosphate groups, designated by these hot red stars. Take a look at those phosphate groups. We discussed once before that those phosphate groups carried a negative charge, and like charges or similar charges repel each other. So those negative charges of those phosphate groups are actually pushing each other away. So those bonds designated with a red star as high energy bonds, they're holding together, but think of them like a loaded spring just ready to pop because of those negative charges trying to repel each other. Okay, the second category of nucleotides is coenzymes. I like the name again. You already know what an enzyme is. It's something that helps a biological or metabolic process in the body. And co means to help. Like a co-pilot helps to fly the plane better and safer. And that's what coenzymes do. So that's why I threw in the picture of the airplane down there to help you remember the meaning of coenzyme. Coenzymes help enzymes by carrying away the products of an enzymatic reaction. In English, we're going to study some pretty complicated reactions in the next chapters. And of course, enzymes are going to drive those reactions. And at the end of those reactions, there's going to be some products. And those products are going to be really important products to take care of and to transfer to other places for important uses. And it's the coenzymes that are going to have the job of carrying those products away to the place they're supposed to go next. We're going to talk about three coenzymes. The first one is NAD. That stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. And yes, it has all the components to be classified as a nucleotide. NAD is a hydrogen and electron carrier. That's what this coenzyme carries. Notice the abbreviation for hydrogen is H+. The abbreviation for an electron is E-. And sure enough, that HE stands for high energy. When we study cellular respiration, when we're trying to break down glucose and harness all the energy of its high energy hydrogens, NAD is going to be critical in carrying the high energy, the HE, the hydrogens and electrons from one place to another so we can generate ATP. We should also all know that niacin, that's a vitamin, as a matter of fact, it's a B vitamin, is required to produce NAD. Next coenzyme you need to know is FAD. FAD stands for flavin adenine dinucleotide. It is also a high energy carrier. That means a hydrogen and an electron carrier. That means an H+ and an E- carrier. And just like NAD, FAD is going to carry a lot of that harnessed high energy when we break down glucose so we can carry it to the next stages of the chemical reactions to enable us all to create the all-important ATP. We should all know that riboflavin, which is also a B vitamin, is required for its production. Finally, the third coenzyme I want you to know about is CoA, which is the abbreviation for coenzyme A. When I'm out on the weekend drinking Pepsi with my friends, if someone says coenzyme A, we kick them out of the group. Everyone just calls this CoA, but you need to know what it stands for. Pantothenic acid is required for its production. And it is also a B vitamin. So notice that each of the three coenzymes that you're responsible for this course requires a B vitamin for its production with triple stars. What are the clinical implications of that? Well, if your patients are deficient in certain B vitamins, they will not be able to carry out the metabolic processes that allows them to harness the energy of food into ATP. So they won't have energy, so they'll feel weak, for example. Did you ever hear on the news some of those commercials come out, or just walk through some of the drugstores and read the jars of the B vitamins, and they'll make these claims about how, you know, we'll boost your energy with these vitamins? No, I'm not saying those claims are true or not. That's not the point of these discussions at all. I'm just saying their thinking. You know, they maybe took a little bit of A and P and realized you need B vitamins for these coenzymes, and therefore that's how some people might be trying to market them to you. But let's just leave that alone and move on. So what's the importance of coenzyme A? CoA. I almost had to kick myself out of my own group. CoA. The importance of CoA is it carries a two-carbon piece of glucose called the acetyl group to the Krebs cycle. And as we will see in up and coming discussions, without that CoA to carry the acetyl group into the Krebs cycle, there's no way that we'll be able to harness the energy in the high energy hydrogens that glucose has and be able to create ATP. So CoA is critical in the process of producing energy. Let's finish up by taking a look at our last group of organic compounds that contains nucleotides. Those are nucleic acids. What is a nucleic acid? A nucleic acid is a polymer of nucleotides. Let the root words help you. Poly means many, mer means parts, and we've already defined a nucleotide. So nucleic acids are a bunch of nucleotides strung together with covalent bonds. There are two key nucleic acids in the human body that are of huge importance. The first one is deoxyribonucleic acid, you know as DNA. And yes, of course, all my friends out on the weekends when we're drinking Pepsi, we call it DNA. If anyone says deoxyribonucleic acid, I would steal their Pepsi and then I would kick them out of the group. The second important nucleic acid is ribonucleic acid, which of course we all just call RNA. Let's break down DNA first. DNA is composed of, number one, of course, phosphate groups. Number two, pentose sugars. Specifically, as the name automatically tells you, the pentose sugar must be deoxyribose. Last, DNA is composed of nitrogen bases. The nitrogen bases in DNA are adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. And you're saying, oh boy, how am I going to remember that? And I put this up there that way on purpose, sort of an age-old memorization technique used here at this college. You know that the nitrogen bases in DNA are ATGC, because that stands for at Gulf Coast. So DNA at Gulf Coast, and that way you'll never forget the nitrogen bases in DNA. DNA, of course, is the material found in our chromosomes. This is part of our genetic makeup. As far as the physical structure, it is described as a double helix. In English, that would look somewhat like a twisted ladder, with the two side rails being made up of the sugars and the phosphate groups, and the rungs or the steps made up of what we call complementary base pairs with double stars. In other words, only certain base pairs will bond with one another. In DNA, adenine will always bond with thymine. Remember, that's the word at. And guanine will always bond with cytosine. And remember, that's your words Gulf Coast. The other way I remember this, and I'll show you a visual on the next slide, I picture myself as climbing up a ladder, and I have my hands on the poles. And the poles with a P reminds me that the poles have the phosphate groups as part of the side rails. And I also remember as I have my hands on the poles and I'm climbing up this twisted ladder that it's kind of sticky because it's made of sugar. So I just remember the side rails are made up of these sugary phosphate poles. And what I'm stepping on as the rungs are the base pairs. And that makes sense to me because I have to have a stable base to put my feet on as I walk up the rungs. So that's how I put it all together. I have my hands on the sugary, sticky phosphate poles, and I'm stepping on the rungs at the base of my feet, which are the base pairs, which again are at Gulf Coast. The base pairs, by the way, are bound together by a type of bond we studied called hydrogen bonds. Hydrogen bonds are critical in the human body, and this is one more example I could give you. They're good bonds. They're not very strong, though. Some textbooks say they might only have 5% of the strength of a full-blown, like, covalent bond. But anyway, they serve a crucial purpose in the human body. A little bit of history. You may have heard some scientists called Watson and Crick, and those are the gentlemen who discovered the structure of DNA. Here's a picture trying to show you what I just described. Always good to put it with a visual. Here's that double helix or that twisted ladder, so to speak. Here's our sugary phosphate poles that I have my hands on. And then these are the complementary base pairs where I'm putting my feet. These are the rungs of the ladder, so to speak. And notice we always have an A with a T and a G with a C at Gulf Coast. This is a picture with a little bit more detail showing you the twisted ladder from the prior slide, but then blowing up really big the sugary phosphate poles. Here's our phosphate groups and our deoxyribose sugar. And then here are the complementary base pairs where we're stepping our feet and walking up the rungs by placing our feet on the hydrogen bonds of the base pairs. Last but not least comes RNA. RNA is composed of, number one, phosphate groups, number two, a pentose sugar, but in this case, which one is it with a red star? You know, it has to be ribose, just like the name tells you. Finally, RNA is also composed of nitrogen bases. The nitrogen bases are adenine, uracil with a star. Uracil, you must know, because that is only found in RNA, not DNA. And then we have guanine and cytosine. So how can you remember this one? Well, I hate to say this because I'm an Alabama fan, but you can remember this by AU, Auburn University, Gulf Coast. That's one mnemonic. Maybe you come up with a different one, but that's the one I use, Auburn University for the AU and Gulf Coast for the GC. Another big difference, besides the fact that RNA uses uracil in place of thymine, is RNA structurally is different. RNA is only a single helix. In other words, in layman's terms, it's kind of like half of a ladder. But it does have a very important function. It functions in protein synthesis, which we will study in detail later on in the course. This is our last slide. That's an okay visual, I guess, that will help us summarize what we talked about and help us compare and contrast DNA and RNA. Off to the left is a molecule of DNA, which is a complete ladder, so to speak. It has two strands with our two sticky, sugary phosphate poles that we're going to put our hands on to climb up the ladder. Then we have our complementary base pairs, remember, at Gulf Coast. They're bound together by hydrogen bonds. These are the rungs of the ladder, so to speak, where we're placing our feet on to climb up the ladder. Over to the right is a molecule of RNA. It's only half a ladder, so to speak. It's a single strand. It has one pole of sugary phosphates, and then attached to them are the nitrogen bases that are similar to DNA, with the exception of there is no thymine in RNA. So uracil takes the place of thymine in RNA. Furthermore, we'll see when we do some biochemistry down the road, uracil will combine with adenine. So that's why we have to have a different mnemonic for RNA, and I use Auburn University Gulf Coast, because in biochemical reactions involving RNA, adenine will combine with uracil and guanine will combine with cytosine. Well, that's all I had on organic chemistry. Next time we get together, we're going to discuss how these organic molecules are put into play in some of the metabolic processes in the human body.